Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is wonderful. I love him. I thank God for all that he's doing in the lives of those who hear him. He talks to his babes. He talks to people that are sincere. I would rather say sincere, but see, Jesus said he rejoiced because God showed the babes his full intent. He showed them authority. He showed them how things are supposed to be. The Jesus always revealed his parables to his disciples after they asked. And when people are obedient and they're sincere, Jesus always taught them more. If you look at how Jesus dealt with his disciples, when they wanted to know, he taught them. When they were interested, he taught them. When they were obedient, he revealed things to them. Now, I said in the last broadcast how the Lord, he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So does the Word. So does the Holy Spirit. So does Jesus. And so does the revelation that God gives you, because it comes from the Holy Spirit. When people love and reverence the Word of God, they're receptive. But when people have darkness, that darkness causes them, it causes their heart to harden. And when the revelation's coming, they resist the revelation. This is why I did the last three. See, this broadcast is really a continuation of what I did all week. So the broadcast in this column, starting from the top going down, if you listen to this one first, listen to those also. All the broadcasts above this one on the page, read them in consecutive order, and then listen to this one again. It'll make more sense, because I'm not going to go back as much and share what I shared previously. Remember, sin, it complicates things. Sin keeps us from seeing God. Darkness is set up to reverse the things of God in your heart. The Word of God, you have to receive, as you receive revelation, you can't just receive revelation from God and live a holy life. You also have the responsibility of driving out the darkness. And that's where modern day Christians that's where they fail. More than anything else, that's where the failure comes from. When you allow darkness of any sort, it changes all of your perspectives over time. It leavens you. This is why people, they may start off good and end up in bad shape. This is why marriages that were once strong and seemed very strong and solid, they end in divorce. This is why ministry, when they prosper, eventually they go out of business. This is why they abort their mission. You know, they still look good in the eyes of man, but their mission, their purpose is gone. You can't share God's purpose and Satan's purpose. They're opposites. And you can't serve God with satanic tactics or methods. Now, most people would say, well, I'll never do something satanic, but here we are. People really do. I want to put it away where people can see it, because the darkness can be camouflaged. It's just as satanic as the witches. It's just not labeled. It's unlabeled. Now, I was talking this week about how things that I run into, people that didn't deal with pride, that pride caused them to resist what God wanted to do in their lives. Some people got offended against me, because God sent me to share with them the next step. Now, they had done things according to God's will, and it was time for them to be promoted. And the Lord sent me with a message saying, follow me. Now, and I explained these things as best I could. But when they didn't receive it, they couldn't follow through. They were going forward. They were gaining ground. They were doing good. They were healing the sick. They were being a blessing to people. But they were also doing things according to what they saw others do. the Lord wanted to promote them into greater works. He wanted to give them greater things. But they were going to have to make some changes. They were going to have to make adjustments. And instead of receiving the revelation, they would do things the way they thought was best. They did more of whatever they were doing, but they didn't yield completely to God. And I know this. I'm not picking on people. The point is not what they did. It's what most people do. And somebody would say, well, you sound like you're offended. I'm not offended at all. I understand it. Because when I was doing this, in ministry, I was yielding to God. In business, I did it my way. And I understand full well the struggle of releasing your whole life to God. It took me a long time, even though I had the knowledge of following Him, I did it in ministry more than I did it in business. And then to get me out of my rut, I had to change some things. Now, I'm going to go on a small rabbit trail since I brought that up. Because in life, in business, it was hard for me to stop leaning to my own understanding. I felt like I got to make so much money. I got to do this. I know how many bills I got. And I felt like the pressure was on. But there was no pressure from God. This pressure was from my own mind. And it hindered me. And I found out, it took me a long time to realize this, but a man can't live beyond his vision. Now I say that because whatever level of life you can believe for, that's where you're going to live, even if you're blessed with much more. How many times do people come into a lot of money and end up broke? They can't see themselves prosper. You have to see yourself better off. You have to see yourself you have to gain revelation and knowledge to handle more. That's why John said, I pray that you prosper as your soul prosper. Jesus put it this way. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Now, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you're going to grow and mature, and you're going to be able to handle more. But most people, when they find out they can pray for whatever they will, if they abide in the Lord and the Lord's word abide in them, they start asking for $1 million. That's one of the most common requests. They ask God to bless them financially. All right. When that happens, if they don't have the vision within to handle it, they lose it. And the enemy, you got an enemy out there, and he's much smarter than we are at this time. And he knows how to get us to make poor decisions. If you make decisions out of fear, out of worry, rush decisions, if you co-sign with people, you're going to lose every time. It's just not going to, it don't work out good when you practice those things. If you don't save, if you don't manage, these are things that have to be in place. But if you follow the Lord, you learn to think ahead and do what's wise. And you learn not to depend on things on the outside to satisfy you. See, Satan is upside down. God is correct. Satan is wrong. He's incorrect. God is upright. Satan is upside down. And his ways upside down. His logic is upside down, and he destroyed his purpose. God gave, did you know that Lucifer had a glorious purpose? He had a glorious purpose from God, and he could have done it. He had everything he needed to fulfill that glorious purpose, and everything would have been so much better off if he had done so. But he failed, and he caused others to fall. He's the first sinner. There are angels, people don't know this, and I don't, people don't know this, but there were five classes of angels. Or he had to take five steps to get to God. So there are billions of angels that's much wiser than he is. He was trying to escalate. He's more like Adam than what people think. He's not the second in command. He's not the best angel God made. He was wise, and he was beautiful, and he had a glorious purpose. But he had to make five ascensions in order to fulfill his evil goal. Now, with that being said, I believe there were societies of angels much greater than he is that fell with him. So, that's just, you know, he was designed with glorious purpose, but he became the opposite of that. So he became an enemy of God, and he destroyed his purpose. So when people try to live with his kind of pride, or with his kind of lust, or with his kind of greed, that they will be leavened into what he is, and they'll abort the purpose that God made them. They're living without a purpose. They change their purpose, because you can't share God's purpose with Satan's purpose. They're opposites. And when people try to do that, their life don't work. In the world, people depend on things on the outside to have joy on the inside. Well, with God, we're fulfilled from within. And as we grow in the Lord, we can see clearly to make the best choices. We can live without fear. My business had a continual problem. I put an unnecessary pressure on myself as long as I had fear. Fear that I would fail. As long as I had fear that I would fail, or fear that I would barely make it, or worry. See, when you act on that stuff, it's not obvious. Even though I attack fear, I learned to live without fear. But what was in my blind spot was still restricting me. It was still hindering me. I got two friends I'm thinking about. They don't have that problem. One is a Christian, the other one's a Catholic. They believe they can make as much money as they want. No matter what they do, they believe that money's going to come to them. And it always does. It's amazing how this works. People have different backgrounds and different problems and different situations. And this is a little aside, but the Lord made me aware that the enemy sends, he dispatches different types of demonic spirits or fallen angels or whatever to hinder us, hinder the families, our families. And I said, Lord, what kind of spirit went against the Hambys? Did Satan send against the Hambys? He said, it's a spirit of suppression. There are things that my daddy had done. He could have been, that for several reasons, he could have been a millionaire. He told my cousin, when he was a younger man, before they used to do it, on cars, he had an idea for cars. One of the ideas he had was a collapsible bumper. So when you have a wreck, the full force gets absorbed in the bumper shocks. Now, he invented this in his mind, but he didn't do the patent. And one of, you know, my uncle laughed about it and said it wouldn't work. But in a few years, somebody else invented it. But he had the idea years before it happened. And then they laughed at him because of their doubts or jealousies or whatever. For whatever reason, they laughed at him. But the idea was there. Another time, he was scheduled to box Joe Louis, but the ship was a day late, and somebody else got in the ring with him. A lot of things happened like that. He had opportunities. They wanted him to come work at Ford after the war, but my mother wanted to live here. You know, he could have excelled at that, but the things he did for God were very outstanding. And he pastored three churches at the same time, part-time. He preached at one church one Sunday, two churches the next Sunday. He worked a full-time job. And he had to drive all the way from Birmingham to Utah, Alabama. That's over an hour away, one way. And he'd spend the weekend in Utah, and he'd have service once at Springfield, and then he had in Mantua, and then he had another one. That was another church, Springfield, Mantua, and St. Paul. So Sometimes we go to church once and we go home. I used to like that because I could get home and play with my friends. But when we had two church services, it was an all-day thing. And we come home in the evening. And nevertheless, he did all this activity. And he did it well and never complained. Since he and my mom were pastors, they paid for three churches. So he wasn't stopped, but the enemy did try to suppress his life. And I was raised by good, godly parents. And I asked, you know, there were things, the Griffiths, my mom's a Griffith. And I said, what about the Griffiths? And it was fear. They had fears, but they would overcome them. So I knew what to fight. So I had to fight to prosper more than some. But some people, they were taught how to handle money better and finances at an earlier age. They were different. But everybody got some kind of fight that they got to fight. And every fight is winnable. But you got to do it. You can't fight Satan if you think like him. And you can't follow God with satanic thoughts. You can't with satanic beliefs. Satanic beliefs is nothing more than pride, greed, and lust. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's where your world system comes from. Why do women half dress? They want body worship. They like attention. Why does Satan... He wanted pre-wanted preeminence because he likes attention. Why do men wear muscle shirts? They want attention. Body worship. Why do people, you know, when people are, sometimes people are ministering and sometimes people are performing. But you can't serve God with satanic thoughts and processes. If you do, you'll lose your purpose. And you won't, and you'll be frustrated. You won't understand why. You'll be depressed. When the rich young ruler, when he came to Jesus, you know, he wanted to live forever. What do I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, love, honor your father and mother. He told him the things to do. All these have I done from my youth up. And then Jesus said something that shows something about this man. He said, one thing ye lack. Take all your riches, sell them, and go and give to the poor and come and follow me. And he walked away sorrowful. He was depressed. He was downcast. Why? Because he did not achieve his purpose. He did not fulfill his purpose. He was set up to, I can prove it through scripture, he was set up. If he would have followed Jesus right then, right that moment, when he came to him, we would have had a greater version of scripture in our canon. Now, this is why he prospered. He did do the things that he knew was right from the heart. But what was lacking was, the money had a hold on him. He didn't want to let go of that power. The money distracted him. His riches gave him credibility. He was dependent on the riches to give him credibility and honor. When a rich man comes around, people stand at attention if they know he's rich. And people like him. They listen to you. But if he gave all that away for the cause of Jesus, that's what he was designed by God to do. This is why he was able to prosper. His prosperity was part of the plan. The way that the Lord was blessing him was part of the plan. His mission of God that came from God. Everybody has a plan. God has a plan for our lives. And he bumped into it. He prospered, and then he could have been a blessing to people. He would have been a visual that was very necessary. Then he would have sold his goods and started giving to the poor, and it would have given revelation in Israel at a time that they need. Then he would have turned around and followed Jesus. Now, the Pharisees already had to deal with healing and people being raised from the dead, the blind seeing, those that have hearing loss, they're hearing now. Now, then they would have been able to see a man that was wealthy go out and distribute his wealth and be a blessing to people that have been devastated. And he would have learned God's ways. See, he was fruitful, he multiplied, but he stopped at replenishing. And he missed the point. What stopped him? What made him change course? He was already rejoicing in Jesus. He came to him worshiping. He still had a problem in his blind spot. See, all it takes is a leaven to stop you, to get you to say no to God and walk away depressed. He walked away sorrowful because he had much riches. So what I learned from this, I learned several things from it. I love the way Brother Horton put it. If he had taken everything he had and gave it to Jesus, Jesus would have blessed him, blessed it, and gave it back to him. See, he would have been a direct distributor, so to speak. I used to sell Amway years ago. I learned a lot of business. I learned a lot of good business ideals from Amway. A direct distributor is a person that they use the platform of Amway and they work it to the point that they got so many people under them, then they become a direct distributor. The goods come to them and they distribute it among the people in their downlines. And they make a lot of money every month. Back then, they were handling, they would make about $3,000 profit every month. Sometimes, that was a lot of money in the 80s. That was a lot of money back then. Beside that job, and sometimes some did greater than that. But see, this man would have been like a direct distributor. God would have been pouring blessings on him. And he would have continued the process of being a blessing to people that had been devastated. See, sometimes when we think of giving to the poor, the widows, you know, they're not able to work. Their husband died. If they would be able to help them get on their feet, keep their homes, they would be able, you know, make sure that they eat well. People that can't help themselves anymore. This was very necessary in Israel. You think the Pharisees are going to help them? Really? Until the church rose up, you know, I don't know how they did it, but you think old stingy Pharisee going to help somebody? They were trying to figure out how to take what they had. This man would have poured light in Israel if he had followed God. But see, you can't follow Christ sincerely with satanic thoughts. It don't take but a few, and you'll be, you won't let yourself go forward. You can't put others first. You got to be known. Your pride demands that people worship you. You want to be known. You want to be liked. You depend on it. But see, with God, you don't. That's foolishness. When you're walking in the light, you don't need props and crutches. You're content by the word of God. Everybody that loves the ways of darkness, they stop everything. People don't know these things. A lot of these things, I'm just understanding in a greater way. But if you drive out the darkness, it's not there to hinder you. Is it possible? Of course it is. Whosoever is born of God cannot sin. I said, Lord, I'm asking the Lord about that being born of God. It's more than just being born again. When you're born again, your knowledge don't change much. When you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, your knowledge level don't change much. You see God different. You see Him as your Savior, and you trust Him as your Lord, and you want Him. You want your love. You have the ability to love His will and hate Satan's will. And the more you love God, the easier it is to hate the wrong things. You have to do two things. You got to love God and hate what's wrong. And people turn from it. They repent. They don't want that anymore. But they don't know. They're not skilled at driving it out. That comes as you continue to follow God. It's just like Joseph Wells said. What made you such a good grandfather? He said, first you got to get mad. You can't pretend to hate Satan's will. You got to really hate the things of darkness. And don't think it's just going to happen because you wish it would. I had to use those Charles Capps confessions. Charles Capps taught us how to confess the word of God. Any idea that you think will help you, you can speak it until it's true. And he said it won't happen just because you're saying it, but saying it is involved in working it. And you work it. I find scriptures and I work it till I hate the things. I started with unforgiveness. I said, I forgive everybody that did me wrong. And as I thought of people, I forgave them. I said, I forgive this person that I used to fight. That older guys used to take your minibike or whatever. I forgave them. And then I prayed for them. And I saw that it pleased God. I continue to do it. If I had any animosity against anybody, I pray for them immediately. I did it by faith, and it became real. Now, from the time I did it by faith, it was done. But it became real to where that was just a way of life. And I meant it every time. So when it came to lust, I said, Lord, teach me how to hate lust. And then I spoke that I hate it. And eventually I drove that out. It was gone. Same thing with anger, frustration. And I started living from within. You don't have to have something on the outside to make the difference. You don't need props and crutches to do it. So in ministry, I don't care about pride and you know, preaching to in order to make people like me. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose is to win souls, and I'll do it any which way I can. Preaching in the pulpit is fine. I love it. But not to gain favor. I do it for one reason, to bless souls. Everything I do what God give me. It's just like praying in private. I don't pray to put on a show. And people who ask me to pray, they don't get a luxurious prayer. They get a direct to the point prayer. And they used to talk about it at work, you know, thirst to pray. If you can hear him, he get right to the point. I get through with it. But I mean, there's faith in it. Now, it's important to do it, God. Whatever you do, do it because you love God. Whoever's born of God can't sin. Now, I said, Lord, teach me. I'm asking him to teach me about that. And last night, he gave me an answer. I said, Lord, what is your definition of being born of God? And he said, Enoch. Now, if you study Enoch's life, if you study what he wrote, that's what it means to be born of God. He said, love righteousness and don't be double-hearted. That's one thing he said. So being born of God means that you're born again and you receive God's word in your heart and you apply it in your life. And you drive out everything that will hinder you from growing in the Lord. When that's in place, when a visitation comes, you'll pass the test. Because everything of God is tested. And if you fail the test, the Lord will not pour the greater anointing on you. Because it would be foolish. God does things wisely. So when we have the charge of God's word, you can receive the charge of God's word and go forward. But the darkness will hinder you and cause you to reject Jesus, just like the Sadducees and the chief priests when they in chapter 4 of Acts. They wanted to find a way to stop Peter and the apostles from preaching in Jesus' name. They were defiant against Jesus. And people who have, who love the world somewhere, they become defiant against Jesus and they lose their purpose. And their ministry becomes boring. Their ministry, they become disillusioned. And everybody that sits under them, they get to where they don't want to be there. And nobody can figure it out. It happens so slow. This is why people don't want to go to church. Now, when there are sincere people teaching, everybody that's sincere, they're going to flock to that. They're going to want to be there. But when people lose that first love and they start allowing junk from the world to creep in, even though they repent, and this is not something that you can always notice. John said, he who walks in darkness, he can't see what he's stumbling over. And you can't, if you get into it too deep, you can't get out. You would, when it's time, when the word comes for you to get out of it, and you'll defy it. It's just like the rich young ruler did. And when people lose the charge of the word, people that depends on the world's tactics is the worldly way. You're always depending on something outside you to make you happy. And now, you know, in Isaiah chapter 9:3. Now, this is God talking to Isaiah. These things are very important to understand. Because God told Isaiah in chapter 9, if I can get to it before we run out of time. We are out of time. It'll be in the next broadcast.